You can chant after me if you feel comfortable to chant, and otherwise just listen and chant to Saraswati Devi, the goddess of knowledge, the one who is in the form of all knowledge and all communication. Om Saraswati Namastubhyam. Om Saraswati Namastubhyam. Varade Kamarupini. Varade Kamarupini. Vidyarambham Karishyami. Vidyarambham Karishyami. Siddhir Bhavatu Me Sada. Siddhir Bhavatu Me Sada. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Okay, good. So I will talk first for a few minutes to introduce what we're going to do and the background for it. And then we'll spend the bigger part of this hour in the actual guided meditation. So, like I said before, and this is something that I emphasize a lot, especially for myself, because I haven't assimilated this totally yet, definitely not, but to see that what do I have control over? You know, the serenity prayer, to see what I can change and what I cannot change. And to see that people around me, for example, I cannot change. How they treat me, I cannot change. Societal values and how the whole of society is, maybe I have a small say, but it's very, very, very small. But what I can change and what I have incredible power over is what I do with my own mind, how I receive the world, how I receive what other people do or the society and my attitudes towards that. And there's actually a tremendous freedom in that. And I'm sure you all know this already, but I think we need to be reminded over and over and over again of that, because it's so easy to fall into this feeling of being a victim somehow, a feeling that things are wrong. But isn't it so nice when we feel that things are right, that things are in order? Ah, oh, it's such a nice feeling to feel that things are in order. And I found that the more I develop my mind and my attitudes inside, the more I can rest in the way that the world is today. So to develop an inner friendliness, and what we're going to look at today, an inner guide, is something that I think for many of us changes the whole atmosphere that we have inside. It actually can change the whole feeling of life. With the inner friend, it's a powerful question to ask yourself. The way I talk with myself inside, or the way I am with myself if it's not in words, would I be like that or say like that to another person? It's a very powerful and extremely important question. And a lot of the time the answer is no. So then we can actually feel good about the fact that here is room for improvement of our life enjoyment. Here we have something that is not so hard to shift and that has tremendous impact. So the inner friend and how to develop inner friendliness is something that I usually teach in the inner child sessions. I've had them many times at Space of Love. I'm only touching on it now. We give a lot of importance to these kind of things also in our Samma Yoga teacher training. It's the inside world. if you feel like that answer to that question inside is no, then I encourage you to find ways to look into that and develop a very friendly, supporting atmosphere. Because like I said in the beginning of the session, how other people treat me, I don't have control over. But I don't want how I treat myself to also be harsh and negative and difficult to be with. I want the way that at least I am with myself to be completely supportive. And if everything else fails, at least there's the inner friend inside who goes, you know what? It doesn't matter. You know what? I love you so much, even though all of that went wrong. You know what? I think you're the greatest person on earth. In fact, I thought it was hilarious what you just did. Let's just have a good laugh about it. And then you can laugh with your inner friend and then you feel better. And that relationship can be very real. And when we now meet this relationship with our inner guide, we want to make sure that inner guide that we meet is a friendly guide. Because the mind and the unconscious, which we are now accessing parts of, is vast. And there's all possibilities in there. So we want to pay attention that we develop a relationship now with a very, very friendly inner guide, and that we see that the language that the inner guide uses is a language of support. And that can be something that we also look into, maybe reading some stories with words of support. How are words of support, of love, of encouragement, words of acceptance? Because how we use our language, our words, that affects all of our mind, that affects our habits, that affects our emotions and how we feel about things. So with the inner guide, I kind of like to look at it as accessing the wisdom part of the unconscious. You know how they say that the unconscious part of the mind is like the bottom of the iceberg? What we're aware of is just this little part of our mind, and then there's a huge, like probably thousands of times bigger part of our mind which we don't have access to, called the unconscious. And then there are different ways of accessing it, and maybe you've heard of, or maybe you've even done some of these examples with hypnosis, where a person is not very strong, maybe they're trying to hold out their arm and someone's pushing it down like this. But then through hypnosis and accessing, I guess, the unconscious, or what it is, I'm not sure, but accessing some bigger power within themselves, they pretend that there's water flowing, like a big hose is one example, flowing through their arm. So that's like keeping strength in the arm. And then somebody pushes with the same strength and cannot budge the arm. There's so many examples like that through hypnosis, and it's incredible. I mean, it's mind-blowing. Just by imagining something, it changes physically in the muscles or whatever it is. So here I like to look at it as accessing the unconscious and the wisdom parts, where all of our experiences and all the knowledge that we have that we don't even know that we have, because we're always filtering, but all of that is stored somewhere inside, and somehow we can access it. So for example, if we have a question inside, how do I get to point D when I'm at point A? Instead of then taking the logical steps A, B, C, D, instead through these kind of techniques, we can go A to D. And we don't know how we got there, but there's access to a deeper wisdom. And I think also that we do access what we in Vedanta call Hiranyagarbha, that's the yoga word or the Vedic word for the universal mind. Everybody's mind, every living being's mind, or the whole universe's subtle body, mind, as one being. And there lies all knowledge. And I think we can tap in there. Whether we believe that or not, I mean, we can't prove that and we can't disprove it, but I think it's very comforting to think that. that the universal knowledge is there supporting me. For me, that feels like I have to look at my clock so I don't talk for too long now, because I want to get into the meditation also. Yeah, so that feels very comforting to me. And here's the other question that I want to pose before we start, or maybe not a question, but a statement, that it's important to see what works for you. What kind of relationship with a wisdom figure, with a guide, works for you in a way that it's real for you. So for example, in the Vedic culture, which I'm kind of part of, and that's the yoga culture, we often use deities. You may have seen Ganesha, Shiva, Saraswati, we prayed for in the beginning. But that's not a symbol that works for everyone, and especially not in the West, where we've not grown up with these symbols. Maybe Jesus is a symbol that works a lot better for many people in Sweden. And here we have the freedom to connect with that which is real for us. And I want to share this short little story that has been powerful for me. That when I was in the early teenage years, I had a close friend, and I still have that friend, but we were very close then, who was very Christian. And I wasn't believing in Jesus in that way, but I always envied her. I thought it sounds so nice to always believe that God is there supporting you. I really envied that. So then there was one day when I said, "You know, Jesus, I'm sorry, but I don't really believe in you. But it sounds really nice to believe in you. So if it's actually true that you exist and that you're always there with us, can you please kind of help me start believing that? Or come to me in the way that is natural for me and that works for me?" And I feel that happened. It came in a different way, although I believe Jesus was a person that lived and all of that. That's a different story. But I feel like a relationship has opened up to something that is bigger than me. And the point here is that when we develop this kind of relationship to an inner guide, for example, that relationship has to include everything about me, including all of my doubts, including all of the things that I feel are negative. So a relationship of trust, which it needs to be a relationship of trust with the guide, that has to include non-trust. If I have a really close friend and I say to that friend, "You know, what you did the other day, I feel like I can't really trust you any longer." But actually, what I'm saying actually is that I trust that person a lot still. I trust enough to say that I have lost trust. That's a lot of trust. And that's powerful. So all of this has to be included in our relationship with our wisdom figure. And today we're going to explore the symbol of ourselves as inner elder. Ourselves as the same person, yourself as the same person you are today, but maybe 30, 40 years from now, where you're older and wiser, and we're gonna go into this and see that there you are with peace in your heart. So then you can evaluate afterwards, how does this symbol work for me as an inner guide? Because the symbol is just something that helps us get to the symbolized. And the symbolized is the guidance aspect, is the wisdom aspect that we want to tap into. For some people, what works may be a guardian angel or a power animal. I think in the last weekend you found some power animals in the morning meeting, I heard. I think that's wonderful. That's so beautiful. Maybe it's in the form of a spirit child. Maybe it's in the form of a universal mother. That's the one that I use a lot too. Just resting into the arms of the universal mother. Ah. And there are some sessions that we could do, and that's very powerful also, where we invoke all of these different relationships or different guides, and then we sit around a campfire, and then we have maybe a certain question in our heart, and we invite each and every one of them to speak, the spirit animal, or the, what's it called, the power animal, the spirit child. Maybe Shiva is there, Jesus, Buddha. That's really, really awesome to do those kind of sessions. Yeah, so I think I've introduced enough. Let's get into it so that we have time for a full nice meditation. Is there anyone who has a question before we start? In that case, you can unmute yourself at the bottom left and ask now.